Welcome, Thrive Church. I really had hoped this Sunday, or any Sunday, we wouldn't be back to doing online only, but that's where we are right now, and we're just praying this is for only 1 week, so please join with us and pray with us on that. We're starting a brand new series today. We're jumping into the Christmas season. I love the Christmas season. I hope you enjoy it as well. And I want to make sure we understand all about Christmas. And I just want to make sure we know that in 2020, we need not a little Christmas, like the song says, which really inspired where I wanted to go, but that we need a lot of Christmas. And so what I hope to do over the next few weeks together leading up to Christmas is that we would understand that whatever's going to help you remember what Christmas is all about, then go all in. That's what I want us to do. Whatever's going to help you remember what Christmas is all about. If you got to put a 25-foot inflatable nativity in front of your house, then do it. Right? Whatever's going to help you to remember what Christmas is all about, especially in this year, then you need to go all in and do that and remember what Christmas is all about. And that's what I hope we're going to do over the next 4 weeks, that we're going to see four different perspectives on the birth of Christ from Scripture that you and I can look at and understand and figure out what it is we're supposed to know and why we have this thing called Christmas. So I hope you'll join in with me as we jump into these different passages throughout the next few weeks leading up to Christmas. So today we start with Matthew. Now, one of the things you need to know is that Matthew was writing to a Jewish audience. He was writing to people who grew up in this culture, who understood what it meant for Messiah to come. And so if you're ever reading the Gospel of Matthew, you will come across things like, this was written so that it was fulfilled. And so Matthew is constantly going to prophecy, and he's pulling out Old Testament passages and saying, see, Jesus did that. He is the Messiah. It's one of the reasons why he does that over and over again, because he wants us to know who Jesus really is. So that's his perspective, and that's why you see it. So when you open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, what does he begin with? Well, if he needs this audience to understand that Jesus is the Messiah, then he needs to start with something. So he starts with the genealogy. In other words, he takes them on a journey of ancestry.com, and he says, see, all the way back to David. Now, why was that important for the Jews? Because the Jews knew that the Messiah would come from David. They knew that. So if you couldn't show that Jesus was in the line, was in the family tree of David, they wouldn't even have a discussion with you. So he starts there. And then he begins to talk about the narrative. The narrative that he wants to write to help us to understand that Jesus is the Messiah and why did Jesus come. And we're going to jump into that narrative, and I want you to see this today, what Matthew tells us is the reason that Jesus came. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ happened this way, right? And this is great because he's just going to tell us the narrative. He's going to tell us what happened. He's going to tell us what took place. He doesn't start with once upon a time, right? In a galaxy far, far away. He doesn't begin that way because he has something to tell us that his historical fact. It is fact. Now, the birth of Christ happens this way. He jumps in. While his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they came together. Now, this word engaged, this is to help us understand this in our culture, but their engagement was far different. You would come together about a year before you would actually get married. You would do everything legally binding, except you wouldn't consummate the marriage. And you would do that in about a year. So when you did this, this was locked in. This wasn't, you know, 3 days later, I'm just not sure anymore. No, this was locked in, okay? So she was found, so that before they came together, they'd already done this engagement. This, in their culture, was called betrothal. They'd already done that. And so they had met with a rabbi. The rabbi was there with their family. They exchanged vows together. And then in a year, they would consummate the marriage. So she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because Joseph, her husband, to be, was a righteous man, and because he did not want to disgrace her, because he got to figure out what to do, he intended to divorce her privately. Now, you and I read this and go, wait, but whoa. You didn't say they were married. Why are they getting a divorce? That's what I was saying before. Their engagement, their betrothal, was so binding that in order to break it, you had to get a divorce. That's the way you broke it. In fact, if you were in a betrothal, you were in that year, about a year, before you consummated the marriage, and your spouse died, you were considered a widow. You were considered a widower. That's what you were considered, because this was that type of binding. So Joseph's trying to figure out what to do. Okay? It says he's a righteous man. He wants to do what is right. And here's what Joseph's wrestling with. I want to do what's right, and I want to have compassion to Mary, because I love her. So, right, compassion. Joseph had three options. First, he could have simply said, done. He could have then brought her to the Jewish authorities, and she could have been punished. Now, when you read in the Old Testament, yes, the punishment for that was to stone somebody to death, to kill somebody. Because Rome was in charge, that probably wouldn't have happened, but there were been some severe punishments for her and her family based on that. And Joseph's like, I really don't want to punish her. I want to have compassion on her. So we'll just go route two, and I'll divorce her privately. Nobody needs to know what happened, and we'll just try to forget this took place. His third option was just be to move forward and say, okay, I'm willing to do that. But see, he didn't think that was right either. So he's wrestling with all these options, and God knows that he's wrestling with these options. And instead of just saying, Joseph, figure it out, watch what God does here. When he had contemplated this, and he's trying to think, what do I do? A, B, or C. I don't know what to do. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, so God's going to do something supernatural here in order to speak to Joseph so he knows, Joseph, I got a plan. I am behind this. And I want you to be a part of what I am doing. Joseph, son of David, right? Remember, Joseph, you're part of that line. You're part of that line of David. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. I know. People are going to talk. It might cost you, Joseph, some carpentry business. It might cost you. There's a lot to be afraid of. But I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to act out of faith, out of what I'm asking for you to do. Because the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Just like Mary told you it was, Joseph, it is of the Holy Spirit. This child is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. You know why that's important? Because the name is everything. But on top of that, Joseph would have just named the baby after someone in his family, because that's what you did. Okay, that's what you did. So they're specific. Joseph, don't be afraid. Take Mary home to be your wife, and then name him Jesus. Why? Why is the name so important? Because he will save his people from their sins. It all culminates to this moment. He will save his people from their sins. Joseph, there's something really, really, really important that Messiah has come to do, and that is he will save his people from their sins. Now, this is a really big idea. And sometimes in these Christmas narratives, we just fly past stuff because, oh, I already know what he says. Angel came, appeared to Joseph, blah, blah, blah. He'll name him Jesus, blah, blah, blah. And we just kind of move through this story too fast. This is huge. And this is everything about the Christmas story that we need a lot of today. In fact, I'm going to say this. See, we want to be saved from our circumstances, but not our sins. And we're not the first ones to come up with that. Joseph would have thought the same thing when he was given that message. Okay, Messiah's coming, but Messiah, why is he saving us from our sins? We don't need saving from our sins. We need saving from Rome. They were tired of the tyranny. They were tired of what was taking place. They were tired of Rome. And since they were tired and they had it, they just, right? Aren't you going to save us from Rome? No, I'm going to save you from your sins. Because why? Because they were just like us. We want to be saved from our circumstances, but not our sin. In fact, fill in the blank. I want to be saved from... What's the blank for you? For Joseph, it was the Romans. And most Jewish people would have told you the same thing. We just want to be saved from the Romans. We want to go back to the time of Solomon that we read about and how incredible it was, the nation was, or the time of David, the time, you know, just when the nation was awesome and everything was great. We want to visit the good old days. So why can't you save us from that and take us back there? See, they wanted to be saved from their circumstances, not their sin. And I think we want the same thing. Could I tell you what I think the number one answer of this is right now? We're playing Family Feud. I want to be saved from the virus. I want to be saved from the virus. If you prayed that way, I prayed that way. Can you just eliminate this thing? Get rid of it? Take it away? And in doing so, I keep wondering, and I ask this as I've been reading this passage, am I simply asked to be saved from this virus? And I'm forgetting that Jesus came to save me from my sins. Do I get this wrong? If I get this backwards, is that what you want to be saved from? Do you just want to be saved from a bad marriage? Do you just want to be saved from the mental health issues that you're dealing with? Do you just want to be saved from the circumstance at work and just get me a different place to work? Give me a family that's not arguing and fighting. Give me children that do everything they're supposed to do. See, we want to be saved from our circumstances. Rarely do we get a hold of this idea that we need to be saved from our sins. See, I'd contend you don't need to be saved from the virus. You need to be saved from your sins. Being saved from your sins is everything. And it is first and utmost importance. In fact, let me show you this for the next few moments. Because I want you to honestly contemplate, what is it that I want to be saved from? What is it that I'm praying the most for? That I'm just begging God, God, you got to get me out of this. You got to rescue me or deliver me from this. So, when Jesus, and this is a story that Matthew, the same person that writes what we just read, writes this later on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Have courage, son, your sins are forgiven." So Matthew tells this narrative in Matthew chapter 9 that Jesus is on the Sea of Galilee, and they bring a man who is paralyzed, and they just drop him before Jesus. Okay, they're carrying him on a stretcher, they drop him down, and you have to help him. Okay, when he saw their faith, because all they knew was, we don't know how to help this guy, we need to get this guy to Jesus, because Jesus can help this guy. Now, what did they want? Well, he needs to be saved from being paralyzed. So watch what happens, okay? Have courage, son, your sins are forgiven. Wait a minute, Jesus, we didn't ask for that. We didn't ask for you to forgive his sins, we asked you to make him walk. Okay, and of course, there's experts in the law everywhere, and they can't believe what's happened. You can't do that. Only God can forgive sins. So look what happens. Jesus says this, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up and walk? What's easier? Now, hold on. We can see what he's getting to. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He then said to the paralytic, stand up, take your stretcher, and go home. You see what he's doing there? Jesus saying, I know why you brought him. You brought him so he could walk, but that's not his biggest problem. His biggest problem is to be saved, rescued, and delivered from his sins. And Jesus does that first. And the crowd doesn't understand what is going on, what is happening here, what is taking place. And he just wants to know, you need to know I have authority to do that. That's why I've come, to save people from their sins. And you thought his biggest need was to walk, but his biggest need is to be forgiven. Then we'll handle the other stuff. And that's exactly what Jesus does. In fact, can I just tell you another scripture? We use this all the time. Okay? It's from 2 Chronicles. It surrounds the temple narrative when the temple is built. And God tells them, hey, there's going to be some hard days. If my people who belong to me, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek to please me or seek my face, and repudiate their sinful practices. They'll leave their wicked ways. Okay? So, if my people will do this, my people will simply do this. Now, watch the order, because I think we just skip over this order. Then I will respond from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their lands. Haven't you been there? I follow an entire Twitter feed that's all about incredible prayers every day, all based on this. Because we want God to do what right now? Heal our lands. Heal our lands. Have you prayed for that? I prayed for that. God, just heal our lands. And I keep wondering, we keep asking for that, but is there this? Because healing our land, we think, is we just need a different election. Right? Come on. We got to be honest about this. We just want a different election outcome. We just need a different party in charge. And this is what we think. And we just get the right people in the right office at the right time and the right people in the right court in the right time. And we get all these things in order. Yeah, then the healing of our land can happen. Well, that's not in there. Notice, my people, what are you doing? I want to do what? Before there's healing of land, your sins need to be forgiven. And we get this order all messed up, and it messes up what we're praying for, what we're asking God to do, what we're begging God to do in these days, in this moment. And we need, as every American revival that's ever been, a confessing and a repenting of sins and asking God to forgive us and then heal our land. That the forgiveness of our sins is going to bring healing to our land more than I just got to get the right person elected. And we got to get rid of this virus and I get all these other social issues figured out. Then our land can be healed. No. Our sins need to be forgiven. God will heal our lands. Our greatest need is to be forgiven for our sins. Your greatest need, my greatest need, our greatest need is to be forgiven for our sins. Anything else comes later. Anything else we are begging for and asking God to do comes later. Have I asked for my sins to be forgiven? Have I made that request, and have I simply asked God to do just that? You see, Jesus came to save us from our sins, not save us from the circumstances that we want. And you know how simple this is? All you need to do is ask. This really isn't that hard. I think sometimes we make it harder than it is. All we really need to do is ask. That's why he came. That's why we celebrate Christmas. See, because God just didn't stay where he was and hope we'd figure it out. He actually came and stepped into our world to meet our greatest need. And it wasn't for the Jews to, I'm going to throw the Romans out. And it isn't for us to give us what we think would put our life in order and would heal our land. It is to save us from our sins. And if we get the order wrong, we will constantly be frustrated. And our Heavenly Father is going to be like, but I came to save you from your sins. And all you need to do is ask. This isn't hard. This isn't difficult. This isn't some formula. I think at times maybe the gospel seems too complicated. It really isn't. I am a sinner. I have broken God's law. I have separated myself from God. Jesus came, stepped into our world, took the penalty for my sin. In other words, he stood in my place and declared himself guilty for what I did. Not for what he did, for what I did. He stands there and he says, I'm guilty. I will take that guilt upon me. Pay the penalty for sin, which is death. And then offer me forgiveness and life. And this is to anybody who would ask. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you were born, who your parents were. None of that matters. It doesn't matter what you've done. All that matters is that you ask. You ask and you find forgiveness in Jesus. See, we need a lot of Christmas because we need a lot of forgiveness. I don't know about you, that's where I am. I need a lot of Christmas because I need a lot of forgiveness. See, if we're not careful, we're going to enter this season just begging God to do something different, to take away this virus, to make it just go away, fix everything that we want him to fix. He came to save us from our sins. So my question for you today is, have you asked for your sins to be forgiven? It's not hard. It's not complicated. In fact, it's very simple to do. My people who call my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven and I will do what? Forgive their sins and heal their lands. I don't know about you, but I think that a lot of healing has to be done in me, in our communities, in our nation. We need God to heal our lands. But he heals our lands by helping us and forgiving our sins as we ask him to do that. So may go back to that question I asked earlier. What is it that you want saved from? What is the biggest thing in your life right now that has consumed all your time and all your energy? It's got all your anxiety up. And you're just like, God, if you would just do this, this would help. And I just want you to know, he came to forgive you and to save you from your sins. That is the greatest thing, and you cannot miss it during this season. That's what this season should be all about. I know our culture has done lots of things with sin. In other words, just breaking the way God tells us to live. We don't understand, I think, Genesis 3 and how much death and destruction and absolute brokenness was introduced into the world when sin came. I think we had any clue of that. But Genesis 3, come on, we don't believe Genesis 3. We got some Big Bang Theory to help us understand what happened in the world. Adam and Eve, they can't be real. Jesus said they were real. And Jesus rose from the dead. He died in our place and rose again for our salvation. And I know what our culture has done. Everything that God has said, don't, they've said, it's okay. It's okay. And the last thing we think we need is to be saved from our sins. So today, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to pray with you that first and foremost this Christmas, you would recognize that you have been forgiven from your sins. Jesus doesn't ask you to live in them, to figure them out. He doesn't say, well, go along, because culture says that's not really a sin. It's just what everybody does. I want you to leave all of that behind. Forget all of that for a moment. Jesus came to save us from our sins. He thought it was that important. That was the number one mission. That's what he came to do first and foremost. And so he died in our place. He rose again for our salvation. And that all started on Christmas. Jesus came to save us, to save you, to save me from our sins. So let me pray for us today. Let me pray for you today, that you would recognize this Christmas that God came to set you free, to forgive you, and that you would enjoy a Christmas of forgiveness in Jesus. Let me pray for us today. Dear Heavenly Father, this is an incredible, incredible season. A season that we need to just recognize quite often we don't make about you. We've made about lots of other things, but not you. But this is a season that you came and your number one mission was laid out to save your people from their sins. We need saving from our sins, and all we have to do is ask. But forgive us because we have thought we need saved from something else. And right now, probably high on everybody's list is save us from the virus. We need to be saved from our sins far more than we need to be saved from a virus. We're dealing with eternal life and eternal death here. And we want to live a life that's abundant and that's eternal in you. So remind us, that is why you came. You love us, you offer us forgiveness, and we thank you for that. And I pray for everybody watching that this would be a moment that they would drop whatever it is they have been asking you to save them and deliver them and rescue them from. And they would ask you to save them from their sins, which is causing all the damage and all the problems in their lives. Would you do that, Father? Would you be faithful in the midst of this season you created to do that for us? We just have to ask. And you forgive us from our sins because you died in our place and rose again for our salvation. So help us to embrace that and live it out this Christmas season. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we hope next week that some of you are here. Some of you will still be watching online, but we are in a different place doing this. We're praying for that, but we are also just mindful of what is going on and what is taking place in our own church family, in our own community, and we're praying for you and for healing and protection as well. Don't miss next week. We are going to continue this. We're going to go to Luke's narrative because Luke tells us something important about Jesus who came to save us from our sins and what that looks like and what that means. So hope that you will join us next week as we continue our series. We need a little, no, we need a lot of Christmas. Have a great week.